call the October 17th, 2023 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and state the time.
7:01. Commissioner Borden is absent as right now. Commissioner Covey?
Here.
Commissioner Schneider's absent. Commissioner Spector?
Here.
And President Spain?
I am here. Okay. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items?
No.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
Second.
Okay.
Do we have a motion?
We need a piece of Jordan and then Colby, you have to.
Second.
Okay, thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Okay. And it looks like we have all staff present. So, okay. So, 7 months of the fiscal year are complete. The report's available in the board packet. John, do you want to give us a synopsis of your report?
All right. Thank you, President Spain. Good evening, everyone. Rather than just going through the normal financial report for this month, I put together a quick presentation on where we stand with our fiscal 23-24 projections through August 31. So just a reminder on our budget timeline, we're right at the tail end of that number two there, phase two here. So basically our projections are pretty much up to date through 6 months of the year, and many of the staff have gotten into their first draft budgets, which are going to be turned around to department heads by the end of this month. On track with our established budget timeline, but ultimately filing our budget and appropriation ordinance with the county by the end of May. So this is just a very high global view of where we stand as of 8/31, broken down by fund and department, and then the not major funds and then the capital funds there down at the bottom. So just a few things I want to point out here, actually. As we look at the corporate fund, the administration department, where basically the first column here on the left is our original budget, and the middle column there is our projections as of 8/31, and then the variance just shows a positive number is a better than budget projection at this point. So a pretty large number initially there with corporate admin that's being driven primarily by interest income and property taxes, which I'm going to get into a little more detail on property taxes in a few more slides here. But in regards to interest income, our original budget was middle $300,000. We're about $755,000 now, so we're about $445,000 better than what we were originally budgeting. Way back when we were budgeting, there was still a concern that the Fed might start cutting rates in quarter three of 23. We know now that's not going to happen, so we're a bit more aggressive with our projections as it relates to interest income. We're hopefully not going to anticipate a Fed rate cut until quarter two of 2024 at this point. So we'll certainly keep that in mind as we get into our first draft budget for fiscal 25. But of that approximately $4 million down at the bottom right, about $445,000 of that is related to interest income, which is obviously fantastic. You know, we're dealing with it on the other end too,
right,
with inflation and costs going up. So the key with the interest income, though, is to just make sure we don't absorb it into our operating budget. We can't expect it's going to be like this every year. At the end of the day, though, if it does improve our financial condition, that is, you know, in my opinion, that's straight to Fund 69 and then money that we can use to fund our master plan capital projects. Parks Department is about $135,000 better than what was budgeted. We have a vacancy there in one of the full-time positions that we're hoping to fill near the start of the new calendar year. So salaries and benefits for that, for an assistant director in that department is a big part of that. Also, the water bill was about $20,000 less than anticipated this year for parks, and pavement site development is about $10,000 less than they were originally budgeting. Watts, no real change there, so not too much to speak to there. As far as the beach goes, I know we've been talking about this most of the summer and into the early fall, so of course pass sales were sluggish and behind what we had budgeted for this year. We had initially budgeted for excess revenue over expenditure of about $23,000. Right now we're projecting that at a 10,000 deficiency of revenue over expenditures. I'm optimistic though that we are going to try to get that number to about break even for the beach. So all things considered with the sluggish pass sales, I think it's great that we're still realistically targeting a break even for the beach in this fiscal year. No real change to the boat, the boathouse. Not going to spend too much time there. The rec fund, the admin, take-up admin fund there, about $240,000 better. Again, that's a big chunk of that is interest income. We did also have a custodial position that was vacant for most of the year, looking to get some resolutions to that soon. The electricity is about $25,000 less than what we had budgeted. We're now projecting $25 less. And we also had that special facility rental, which accounted for about $20,000. Rec programming is a shade over $100,000 better than what was budgeted. I'll get into the detail on that on the next slide, but our programming remains strong and there's a few standout programs that I'll mention. Children's Circle, this number is at $170,000 now, slightly up from our projections back in the first quarter. And again, most of this is driven out of labor. We're just not fully staffed at this point. The part-time positions remain open for assistant teachers. Right now we're down a full-time lead teacher. Also our prep cook position has been vacant for quite some time, so we're looking to fill that. So while it's a positive number here, not a number we ultimately want to see on a consistent basis as we look to fully staff up in Children's Circle. Fitness, not too much to speak to, $2,000 variance there. Not going to mention too much in the other operating funds or our non-major special revenue funds here. The only one I will point out is the liability insurance fund. It's actually exceeding what we had budgeted, and that's just in an effort to make additional safety improvements, as many as we can make as it relates to just keeping up safety and improving safety and security around our facilities. As far as capital project funds go, so $485,000 is the number for all three of the sub funds here. The capital projects fund in the first row, that's fund 65, that's our operating capital. So about $62,000 better, and that's just because we are not able, we're having to defer the purchase of a pickup truck to the tune of about $60,000. And then fund 67 is the bond proceeds, those again are fully spent. Accumulated interest during the year. Master plan capital fund, about $373,000. That's made up of about $220,000 below budget with the Lakefront Park project, which was great. We had a $77,000 IDNR trail grant come in, and then interest income really makes up the rest of that. So again, all things considered, you know, very positive numbers. One other thing I did want to point out here too is we think about, you know, our results this year and what to plan for in future years. As I mentioned, the interest income, we don't want to absorb that into our operating budget. I also just want to point out under other operating funds, the pension retirement fund. That's a fund that it's really driven based off of what IMRF's actuaries say we need to contribute to the IMRF plan. And this year is the lowest it's been in at least 10 years. And about 5 years ago, it was double what we were at now. So, again, great for this year, but moving forward, we have to anticipate, you know, if we have to levy more in the pension fund, it's ultimately going to pull from our corporate and from our recreation funds.
Why was it so low this year? Just curious.
So it had been trending lower. While there was an increase in the market was down in 2022, they do a smoothing method that they use, kind of a 5-year smoothing method, so that we're not dealing with that type of volatility. But as we continue to get further into factoring in that 1 year and current market conditions, could definitely have an increase again for sure.
Got it.
I was curious as to how, you know, wage and inflation factor into benefits. Like, I understand that there's been better interest earnings, better funded, et cetera, so contributions are going down. But have you heard anything about the cost of benefits increasing?
Yes. So, in terms of cost of benefits, the main variable number there is IMRF. Obviously, FICOS and Medicare are fixed numbers. The IMRF number will fluctuate based off of what the actuary tells us. Beyond that, I would say it's us being competitive in the marketplace when it comes to benefits, and being able to retain and attract talent, but beyond that, it is the IMRF number that is really going to be the variable number there.
I think they normally, I'm not as tied into this as I used to be, so you know more than I do. I thought that, like, typically they had somewhere like 2.5-3% increase in benefit projection, and I was just wondering if they're still sticking to that because they thought, you know, inflation. I thought inflation was supposed to be transitory and that 1 year blip, right? But then you see, like, Social Security is still giving out pretty significant, you know, bumps and benefits, and I was wondering if they were going to have to, if the actuaries were starting to look at adjusting.
From a Social Security and Medicare standpoint, I have not seen anything on that. 6.2% and 1.45% for each of those.
Uh-huh.
Again, IMRF is a number that could potentially increase.
We talked about
medical insurance costs increasing by about 6 to 7%,
uh-huh.
Which we talked about at the committee. Benefits are definitely going up in correlation with what we're seeing.
But it hasn't, I guess, resulted in...
Nothing concrete where we would say, okay, we need to adjust the levy
uh-huh.
some of these operating funds outside of
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, for now.
Okay.
But again, and that's where I would just say we need to caution ourselves and make sure that we are planning for, you know, having to potentially levy more of these other operating funds, which pulls from our corporate and recreational.
My only comment is probably similar to maybe what you're thinking right now. I can't say for sure. I don't love to see the budget so far off from actuals. And I get the, you know, if I look at it, there's kind of three things that are driving it. You've got capital, you've got the interest rates, and you've got sort of labor. But those, we should be, I don't know what your thoughts are on budgeting for 5% less labor than, you know, what fully staffed.
Yeah,
that seems to be like, for like the past 5 years we've heard it. I would love to have a more accurate budget. I am well aware of how difficult it is to do this. But when I see numbers of like, 10-15% off, that to me is a little bit of a, hey, where can we do this better this year?
Yeah, and attrition rate as it relates to salaries is something we can consider. Certainly we have the legal ramifications, though, of if we do have to increase the budget. It's not to say we can't, but we have to go through 30 days. It's similar to the budget process. It's not just right. You know, it's not we're over. We have to kind of follow our same process, put it out for inspection, and have the board approve it. So. We try to be careful there budgeting, and then we put some cushion into the appropriation too. But you know, that's one factor that I'm sure has led to the past practice of budgeting to fully staff.
Right. I know. Yeah. I know that. And don't we file with the county like it? We're not going to go. Like we have our budget,
the appropriation, right?
And then we have the second thing is we're not going to go over that. And so I think there's no delta between those two. There's no defined delta between those two, and so I think you can use that appropriation ceiling at some point, but you know, I think it helps out for everything that we want to do. The more accurate the budget is, the more
for sure
we can probably do with things earlier on in the year.
For sure. Yeah, and that's really been the effort too, in trying to get the projection out sooner too, just so we kind of know where we stand too. So it's definitely valuable tool for staff to be able to.
And correct me if I'm wrong, you set the budget once a year. You don't adjust forecasts every month, do you? The budget, back to the process of that.
May,
yeah, you've got a plan.
We're done. These projections are strictly internal for us to be able to make operating decisions.
Right. Like, I'm sure we're all from plan, but every month we go and adjust it, which you guys don't do. I don't know if it's worth it, too. But okay. Thank you for the transparency. And I agree on the you can't take that 750 grand of interest and put it in an operating budget.
Right. Just real quick here then, I mentioned those rec programs, Kinder Corner, Sound Fun, Aquatics Camp. We're going to hear some camp talk after this, so I won't get too far into that, but those are great programs and very high demand. I mentioned interest income, 755. Labor market we talked about. Again, the beach sales, Open Beach can break even, and then Lakefront Park is 220,000 under budget.
When are we talking about beaches for next year?
When are we talking about it? That is at next month's meeting.
Next month's meeting?
Yep.
Okay, good.
We'll mention our master plan capital transfer. So this year we transferred $1.4 million in June of 23 after our audited numbers came out. Point is, with this discussion tonight and what I mentioned with the interest income, I don't know exactly where that transfer will be proposed to be in our fiscal 25 budget yet. But given the results, my expectation is we'll have a sizable transfer to be able to include in the fiscal 25 budget. And this is just the history of where we've been in the past 10 fiscal years. Again, this is what goes into Fund 69 to fund our master plan capital projects. Just real quick on property taxes. So we did get the final rates released finally in early October. Our final extension was about $215,000 over our original budget, so that means we could potentially collect more property taxes than we had budgeted for. But keep in mind that $215,000 is the gross extension, so we need to factor in we're about a 2%, so 98% collection rate on the property taxes. That puts us at about $90,000 potential in additional revenue, or about 1.5% of our original budget. And then there's a recapture of $70,000, which is in regards to Public Act 102.05.19. Basically, when folks appeal their taxes, this kind of makes us whole for the revenue that was lost as a result of the property tax appeals. So in the future, in the subsequent year, the taxing districts are made whole for those, essentially on the back of other homeowners.
Can say they have to be on the back of the homeowners. Like you're not. You are always made whole. It's individuals are
correct.
Are one person subsidizing someone else?
Just like we'll only receive more. The most we can receive is 5%. But somebody's
tax
bill will go way up.
Yeah. Someone's tax bill will go 50%. But I was going to ask you afterwards. I don't understand then how you cannot be made whole. Like you said that the tax. You will be made whole at the end, but how?
Another taxpayer. So in this, we're going to recap $70,000 this year for assessed for appeals or refunds that were issued in related to the 2021 levy.
Shouldn't you have already collected that though from other homeowners?
No.
Did it just move?
This gets kind of into the background of how the clerk and assessor handles it, but ultimately not. I don't know. I'm not privy to kind of how it's divvied up or when it's exactly paid out, but that it's the timing of the refunds and the fact that they're not able to get them into the distribution, so they have to make us whole and stuff something here.
Okay.
That covers it for the projections discussion. Is there any questions?
Well, thank you. It was really helpful to see that.
And not anything to board that just a year ahead of time.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to hearing the summer camp report presentation between Erica, Savannah, and Shannon.
It's a nice setup.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not squinty.
You got squinting, you can see it.
There's no, you know, projector on a cart that's blocking the view.
Pretty outstanding.
Last year, which led into the Kinder Corner enrollment. We don't anticipate this to be the trend, just based on where our course programs are at right now. So with that, we did see an increase in revenue. We also saw that more students wanted, parents preferred the 8:45 to 3 option versus 8:45 to 1, which increased the revenue. And same with expenses, wages, and supplies, just continue to be monitored and watched on how we're doing for that. Our counselor and training programs are for those entering 7th through 10th grade. We offer a half-day preschool program, so they work with the preschool campers, and then a full-day program that works with the youth. They receive an orientation and training before camp. This year, we also brought in the Heller Nature Center from the Park District of Highland Park to run cooperative team games, and that was a hit with our CITs. And they learned to basically do what a counselor does, so they support camp day-to-day operations. They get assigned a camp group, and they work with them and help the counselors.
This is the best financials ever.
The margins on that are
just so the show both half-day and full-day CIT programs. All of the graph doesn't look like it. It's actually pretty steady, sustained enrollment. Our financially, the revenue is gone up just slightly, but in line with participation. Expenses are lower this year because we did not have a full day CIT director. I actually did those duties to make sure the quality of the programs didn't suffer, but ideally we would have a full day camp director in that position. So we do expect that number to go back up. But this amount of CITs does allow us to have at least one and then sometimes two CITs with every one of Savannah's camp groups and every one of the Sun Fun and Camp Adventure camps. And so, like Savannah said, they are able to help out. So it does kind of help assist in the camp day. Our Sun Fun camp is for campers entering first through third grade. We had a really fun summer. Some of the highlights this summer were going to the Chicago Dogs camp day game, and so a lot of our camps went that day. Their favorite field trip was the Santa Village Amusement Park. We also took a trip down to the Lincoln Park Zoo. They go to a few local water parks. We hosted two undernighters that had some special activities and food, and then we do special theme days on Fridays. And as you guys already heard, our enrollment was strong. So we're seeing numbers closer to our pre-pandemic levels, which is exciting. We had really full, fun groups. And then for the financials, we did see really strong revenue. Some of this is just the increase in enrollment, so having a lot more campers, but we're also seeing more families choose the 8-week option, and then even more families choosing the 8-week full day option. So really committing to us for the full summer. So that's reflected in that strong revenue. Expenses are somewhat as expected for the amount of campers we have, but we are still gonna continue to monitor and kind of manage how to balance the rise in bus costs, so field trip choices, and expenses just related to the supplies for that amount of campers.
I would say here, your margin in 2023 is significantly better than 2019. If you look at it, your revenue increased 20%. Yep. Your cost only increased 10%, so you're doing something right.
Yeah, Lincoln Park is free. You know, but just kind of balancing those kind of choices. We are, just even like this year, planning the school day off trips, we're seeing really high increases in our field trips right now, so like not offering group packages or so just being careful about where we choose to go and when and how we get there, all those things. So Camp Adventure is for our campers entering 4th to 5th grade. They also had a really fun summer. Some of the highlights this year were canoeing in the Muskogee Lagoons. We had a mobile escape room visit twice. This is one of the campers' favorite activities by far. We went to Illinois' largest water park, Raging Waves, as an extended day field trip, which led into an overnighter. So my staff loved that. And then we went to a few water parks, and we do join special theme days with Sun Fun on Friday. Camp Adventure enrollment is climbing still, but not yet back to the pre-pandemic levels. Although we did see several families who joined us in the beginning of summer for a 2-week or a 4-week, who then added more sessions midsummer, so that is a positive trend. And then similar to Camp Adventure, the higher revenue, kind of matches our increased camp enrollment numbers. We do have higher expenses, not just because of the having more campers, but we are trying to choose a little bit more age-appropriate field trips, which does cost a little bit more money. Again, the rising cost of these trips and the bus costs, so just managing that while still planning a really attractive one summer to kind of compete with overnight camps or sleepaway camps for this age group.
So action classes for participants entering sixth grade through ninth grade. This year we were actually in a unique position where I had one returning staff member because they all either graduated college or found permanent part-time positions within our district. So kind of give a fresh perspective and then jumping into our location, since WATS, we are typically held out of the WATS Center and it was under construction. So we used Glencoe Youth Services this summer, so we got to utilize all the central schools. Nice amenities that they added, as well as our tennis courts, our soccer fields, and our baseball fields. Some highlights are, as always, Bear Paw Beach and Six Flags. Six Flags, we actually extended our day there, and then they got to sleep here and take it, so they got to spend the day. We made money's worth of that ticket. and then also teaching the kids of the local options they have. So Erica was kind of spearheaded the canoeing in the Skokie Lagoons, and that was a great trip as well. Action Quest enrollment. So the enrollment continues to rise because our one-week options continue to be the most popular with the flexibility of the parents. They come for 1 week and then they enjoy it, so the trend that we've seen is they maybe sign up for 2 weeks only, but by the end of it, they're an additional 3 weeks that they signed up for. Just to go to speak to my staff and the great job that they have done that summer. Our revenue is also up across the board, and that's also due to the high enrollment that we've seen in that 1 week option, but our expenses are up compared to last year. That's due to hiring additional staff. So I only ran camp with 2 counselors. This year we hired an additional staff member to help accommodate the high enrollment, as well as busing costs and all that. But we remain creative and try to use our 14 passenger bus to get kids around town.
You realize your expenses are exactly in line with your revenue there, right?
Yep.
You have a 30% increase in revenue and exactly a 30% increase in expense. So I wouldn't sell yourself short.
Right. Exactly.
Try my best. The next camp that I oversee is Game On Sports for Girls. It's our sports specialty camp. They have the traditional camp where it's grades K through 2, and then for kindergartners, we do have a half-day option available from 9 to 1 p.m. And then they have the leadership camp, which is grades 5 through 8. This year, due to some District 35 projects, we were out of 2 locations. So the first 4 weeks we were at South School, the second 4 weeks we transitioned over to West School, and hopefully summer 2024 we have 1 permanent home. And then looking at the enrollment, so our enrollment and revenue has increased over the last 3 years. This is the 3rd summer we've offered this camp, but something unique is in 2021 we offered 10 weeks of camp. 2022 we offered 9 weeks of camp, and this summer we only offered 8 weeks of camp. Some feedback that we got was they wished that it matched up with our traditional camp schedules, so we scaled it back, and then they could do 2 weeks with Game On, 2 weeks with Sun Fun, or 4 weeks with Sun Fun, 4 weeks with Game On. So that enrollment drop would match that tri-week that we offered. It was about 60 participants in that 1 week.
So our overall camp enrollment is in line with last year. If you know, the jump from 2019 to now, Game On started in 2021, so that would be the increase there with that. And then we kept our expenses in line and showed growth in revenue throughout this year.
So we conducted another camp survey this year. We used SurveyMonkey again. We had 126 families respond to the survey, which is still not as many as we would like, but our highest number yet. The responses were overwhelmingly positive in all the categories, so we had much fewer unsatisfactory responses than we have in the past. We're pretty proud of that. Something to note about the survey results is that we are moving to having a 5-option scale, so it now includes very good, which it used to be a 4-point scale, but this will make us consistent with the other surveys we do throughout the year, so it'll be easier to compare results across programs on an annual basis, so it's going to look a little bit weird this year. So 95% of respondents said they would register our camps again, and it kind of just speaks to the overall success and satisfaction with our camp programs. And then 96% of the responses for the value of camp in relation to fee were in the excellent to good range, which is up from 90% in 2022. So camp staff results. So our camp staff, which includes camp staff management, the camp staff themselves, and the customer service staff, also overwhelmingly positive. So this has gone up from previous years, but almost all of the responses here in the good to excellent range as well. And then overall 96% of above in the good to excellent range for camp satisfaction categories. There is a little bit of variance, so we're going to look into, you know, some of the unsatisfactory, but we're still overwhelmingly positive in the results with not too much negative feedback. So just kind of combined overall speaks to we're proud of our teams and the hard work they put into camp. We didn't have any really, really glaring deficiencies or, you know, issues that families had with camp.
The only one you see up there is the camp hours, so someone's not happy with. Six people are not happy with camp operating hours in 2023, which you didn't see a lot of fairs or fours in the previous year on camp hours.
Yes.
So, but six people out of 126 is
some of the feedback here, so we do have a couple of families who noted that. So our study day care covers AM care and PM care when they sign up for this camp option. There are a couple of families that would prefer to have just AM care or just PM care, but at least for my camps and Sun Fund, we do have an overwhelming amount of the families that sign up for the extended option utilize both the early drop-off because they avoid car line or get to work early, and then also utilize the PM care. So just based on the feedback from, I don't want to speak to anyone else's camps, but
I'm not concerned about it. It's the only one
That's just what that was in regards for my camp anyways, with that AM and PM.
There was a comment on the survey as well, like from one person about offering extended hours for the Teddy camp in particular. So we are planning to add an extra, like an hour, like lunch and play kind of thing to Teddy this summer.
So future considerations, some things that we reported with the board last year was we wanted to improve the registration process for families. We also wanted to convert from camp docs to EPAC for campus paperwork. Utilizing the NPHR to streamline onboarding process for the onboarding process for our seasonal staff. Really utilize our camp app, fine-tune that, and then continue to manage staff wages and inflation, which we all kind of touched upon in our presentation here. So what we were able to accomplish this summer was Sun Fund and Camp Adventure. We did a combined grade level registration, which made it easier for families. We implemented EPAC and created multiple dashboards. So if you're a preschool family, you're only filling out the preschool dashboard, and if you're a youth age, you're only filling out the youth age. So we require certain things. With the marketing team, we were able to roll out a brand new all logos for our camps, which looked very well and streamlined a lot of things. Gave it a great view. And then we also created an internal camp app user guide for us so everyone knew whose role was what from the marketing team all the way down to our camp directors. We also added a look back at the week from feedback of parents. They wanted to know what their campers were doing in our youth age camps. So every Friday at 3:30, a news article went out to all families and they got to see what they did at that week. And we also increased photos in the app. Some future considerations for summer of 2024. EPACT, to help streamline the customer service aspect, we are going to develop a user guide for Glencoe-specific camps so people know once they get the invitation what they need to do and what they need to complete. We also want to update the dashboard to require certain documents if there is some confusion there. And from all the staff recruitment we saw in the beginning of the survey, we want to expand those efforts and make sure we can get our staff hired in, you know, a timely manner, make sure we know we're fully covered heading into the summer. And then the last bullet point here is align camps with District 35 grade ranges for youth camps. So Spun Fun would now be grades 1 and 2, Camp Adventure would be 3 and 4, and Action Quest would be grades 5 through 8. If we look at the camp age breakdown, this is kind of comparing if we made that transition this summer. You'll see we had 147 unique enrollments in Sun Fun, 77 in Camp Adventure, and 75 in Action Quest. If we had made the jump to match the District 35, we would have 102 campers in Sun Fun, 88 campers in Camp Adventure, and then 108 in Action Quest. We look to do this to evenly distribute participation numbers throughout all camps. It'll help with staffing the camps and ratios for the younger ones, allow us to provide age-appropriate activities and trips, and it's the potential decrease in bus costs in certain camps. So instead of three buses for Sun Fun, it might be only one or two. So that's kind of
hopefully two.
Any questions?
Just to kind of add on that, so having kids with age. If you care about sure I don't think it's such a big deal because I'm coming to that, but Action Quest, there are a lot of field trips, but I don't know, I'd be comfortable spending my girl going to fifth next year. So just to throw that out there. I do think those camps are very different. You might know. I don't think Sun Fun and Camp Adventure are as different, and I do think that third graders are kind of ready for something different, but I don't know, I'm a little concerned there. Also, there's really nothing for that ninth grade age range, and maybe you can see like how many people register and if it's even an issue, but there's really nothing for that age. It can't work. It can maybe be a CIT, but there's like no options. Last year, I think we only had one person in previous years that you had.
Not really, and that one person is kind of an outlier. I get to know those kids pretty well. He is not even from Glencoe. He comes in with a cousin, and so he was the last summer with us. But yeah, from previous years, I'd have to look back, but I don't believe we have many ninth graders at that point. They're kind of chatting, and they're like looking around. TIT is also available. I haven't seen a lot of ninth graders. It's usually eighth grade their last summer and then kind of year off at that point.
Probably high school camps and things like that also.
Yeah, they also do like the sports, so they're getting ready to go into high school, so they have these sports. I know they have like training camps and things like that as well.
Yeah, a lot of the new training, like not my kids, but a lot of the kids are somewhat required to do some of the new career sports camps. The volleyball really highly encourages that you join the new career camp before your freshman year and some of the field hockey and things like that. It's pretty competitive. We literally just did this, but you know, it's a smart point because the ninth graders who are not into the athletics or some of the camps, there are not a lot of options. I agree with Stephanie. It'd be interesting to see, you know, what opportunities we have. Because maybe some just don't want to be a CIT. I don't know. It could just be a marketing thing. Like, I don't know.
It's interesting when we did the focus group with that age group exactly. And we asked, Jamie asked them, and I just happened to be sitting in on it. You know, your parents are telling us they want more for your age, for this age. And they all said, we don't want anything more.
Yeah.
We don't want to be programmed anymore. So what parents want, what kids want, is totally different
yeah.
at that age. So that's part of what we're seeing there is that desire to be in a structured camp is not there anymore, and they're.
We're seeing the beach too. A lot of people gather and hang with all friends at the beach or friends who have come to other places in town or on their bikes.
The club that Action Club is, I mean, just from my experience with it, more unstructured. Mm-hmm. And like, my daughter loved that because her friends just hung out all day. They weren't always supposed to do that. I'm very sorry, but they did. So I just wanted to throw it out there before you. Changes just to see, because that window of what they can do is small. And I'm wondering if we could do a survey of some of the fifth grade. Because again, like these kids, even though our schools are 5-8, it's.
Fifth graders are very much different than the 6-8.
And but it's more instructive.
But at least our school, like, you know, one thing I did notice when I saw this was it is aligned, at least with the Glencoe schools. And whether or not, you know, you think fifth graders should be with 6-8. I personally don't think they should be in school. I think it's very different. They are. And so I don't think that it's that different, but I hear you. There are some, you know, it's a big year, and it's a big developmental year, and some of the 8th graders may want to do different things than the 5th graders. But.
And the way it's structured is like more like a big group rather than a camper. So I just think it's a big change. You know, maybe, I don't know, if you want to, or family to do some surveys or focus on this app.
Activities and just gearing it to the age appropriate. So, like, they're not going to be all in one room crammed together, especially with the new renovation. We have multiple spaces that we could put them and kind of separate them out. So. And then just kind of looking at our field trips and saying, you know, we need to, so one of the main reasons was age appropriate, so we need to scale back some of those and kind of change the field trips so that the graders feel more comfortable. Totally do that. And we'll ease them on into it as the summer comes on.
Since our enrollment has been going up, I don't know that our, you know, student population has been going up. So where are you drawing? Have you heard which camps they're like? Are we drawing from? Is it like cost advantage or like?
So it's been a few years since we did it, but we had a camp group and we did survey all the relationship fees, and I know a parent reached out where like the extended day in Highland Park is ours is much lower costing and affordable for a non-resident to come into our programs. We had a number of the families at least in some of the camp adventures that were non-residents as well. So that's kind of where we're drawing. We're staying in line with fees and staying in similar ranges, but it is affordable.
I think they're being modest because it is also they're being very modest. It's a great camp, and word is out. So people from Highland Park, Winnetka, Northbrook actually come to our camp because of the quality, because of the fees, because of the diversity in our offerings. So all those, you know, we're attracting people that, why should I go to Banner when I, for my money, I'm getting just as even better experience here. So it's just our quality has gone up so much that people are choosing our camp over some of those other ones.
And District 35 alone, there's an extent of 12 years right now. And they're projecting maybe a 30 child swing over the next 10 years. So really, you're seeing the non-residents, but a lot of non-residents, swim aquatics are. At least Highland Park, most of them are choosing Glencoe versus the Park District in Highland Park because of the quality and also the offering, because we have extended days, and we really have options for working parents too. But the quality and the value for money we're hearing, like, the survey results were phenomenal. So proud of the team. Like, the best results I've seen at the end of the district.
So, but to answer President Spain's question directly, are you seeing a shift in percentage of non-resident enrollment? Like, was it, were we like 50-50 resident, non-resident, and now we're like...
Exactly. At the same time, residents always get first priority because they get to register a week prior. So it's not like non-residents are beating out residents. It's our residents get first opportunity. They don't jump on it fast. Those can't fill. So.
I was going to ask, to what extent are we turning down kids for camp?
No, we did initially have a wait list after registration, but not for too long. After we were able to hire more staff, we added, you know, the people from the wait list as soon as possible. So we took everyone that, even if they were initially on a wait list, for Sun Fun and Camp Adventure.
Yeah, for our youth camps and our Camp Adventures, we're able to expand as long as their staffing, their facilities big enough. The younger kids are a little more difficult.
Yeah, for the only one who had a wait list that we weren't able to accommodate was Teddy. We had three on the wait list that we weren't able to get in just due to ratios, DCFS backlash.
We do hope to hire more staff early so that we can have people like never on wait list, because we don't know, you know, for some people being on a wait list even for a short time could be a deterrent and they might find another option in that time. So we do are hopeful that if we open the jobs earlier, recruit earlier, and have higher return rate committed to us, that we can have those numbers closer to what they are now, like at registration, so that we don't lose anyone that was on the wait list.
I have to compliment them also on their creative ways to attract counselor. They look totally outside the box and did things that we probably have never had to do before. And it was because of that, those incentives and things like that, where at first you're like, oh my God, why? But then it really did, you know, bring new staff to the board. So thank you for that. And they're very active in all the high school career fairs. They're always out there. They go to college fairs. They're down at ISU, U of I. They're everywhere recruiting staff. So we don't just put it out there and hope they come. We're actively pursuing the best staff out there.
Well, how many of your CITs come back? Like from last year to actually go from counselor training to counselor.
Yeah, so
if you don't know it, we can find out.
And we can find out later. Okay. I know like Chase is one of our head counselors who was a CIT the year I hired him as a director when I was in 2019 for Sun Fun.
Wow.
He was the first year counselor and he now is all the way into head counselor with us.
You have to
on the cover of your next brochure.
Yes.
From CIT to director.
That's kind of a skewed number though, because we don't take all the CITs mm-hmm. that are in that program. It's kind of our training ground, and we can flush the good ones out. I'd be nice, but we do take good amounts, but we don't take them all.
I didn't know them when they were CITs, but they told me they were.
That's really cool.
We have racks working at Kinslow right now. We started.
We're they might go over the beach. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Actually, we were at the job fair.
Usually it's 15 minimum, and then we
are
older.
At 9th and 10th grade, how do you create other opportunities, like junior counselor positions? We kind of played around with groups this year for those 14-year-olds are turning 14 like this summer. So we're looking at that, but we'll get there. A lot of new resources, not a new camp director.
Yeah, like you can't just, hey, here you go. You know, there has to be mentoring, there has to be training.
Yeah, there should be a lot.
We want to make sure it's set them up for success.
Thank you. Great job.
Thank you guys for a great summer. And Jessica and Adam, who are sitting in the audience, thanks for coming and being here also. They're good. They are above those three positions, so they're good resources, and they all work as a team together to make sure we get that best outcome. So.
Great. Well, thank you. Great job, everyone.
You don't have to stay. You can sneak out quietly. I don't mind. They all been here early and stuff.
All right, Lisa.
Oh, my turn.
Yes, your turn for the executive director report.
I'm not going to cough too much. First of all, I'd like to welcome Aaron back.
Yeah.
Came back on Monday with a whole list of things to do. So for the last couple weeks, we were like, oh, we'll wait for Aaron to come back. We'll wait for Aaron to come back. So she's going to be a little busy for a little bit. So welcome back. And your daughter's adorable, Pearl. She's wow. And also like to recognize Shannon. She has been promoted to the facility manager of Aquatic tonight. So that's a nice challenge for her, and we know she's up to that challenge. She's proven herself since she was an intern. So we're excited to have her in different positions to see what she can do. So kudos to you. Just really quick, just highlight some of my some things in my report. I know we just got back from NRPA, and it was a great conference, and we'll do more of a report in the next board meeting since we just got back this weekend. But the IPRA IEPD conference is coming up. Would love to see you all there at conference this year. It is my year of cheer, so it's a little more fun, I think, is a cheer reception and all that good stuff. So if you'd like to come Friday and or Saturday, we would love to have you. Just let Jenny know if you'd like to come. That there's a luncheon on Friday. So we do our staff dinner on a Friday. And then there's
the... here in Chicago.
It's here in Chicago. It always is at the Hyatt Regency, yeah, for the IPRA one. There's great sessions, this one for commissioners. They have a whole commissioner track because the conference is made up of both the Professional Association, IPRA, and the Commissioner Association, IAPD. So we'd love to have you join in one or two days of that conference if you can. Again, the IAPD business meeting is Saturday, January 27th at 3:30 p.m. We do need a delegate, so start thinking about that. If any of you are down there, great. If you could attend, if you can't, you can always earmark me as the one that goes to the meeting. So we'll take action on that next month. So if anybody knows they're going down on Saturday and want to see that meeting, that takes place. As far as levies, we talked a lot about that in committee, so we need to go over that. In parks planning, I'd like to turn it over to Kyle to give a little bit brief update on some of the projects we're working on.
Sure. I'll start with one month. We had to report that we did receive the replacement spinner on Monday the 9th. Removed the old one, weather kind of sidetracked us in next week. Concrete is scheduled for this Friday, so we're hoping to have that new spinner, replacement spinner, in place and open back up Tuesday afternoon. Additionally, just want to highlight that Woodlawn, actually today we had a joint planting effort with Friends of the Green Bay Trail, planting some native grasses in the area between Green Bay Road and the playground. It's looking really nice. We're also going to plant a swamp oak and some other pollinator-friendly plantings. Bigger projects, the bluff stabilization project is still on track for completion by mid-November. The east wall will be complete at the end of this week. Curbing removal and layout of the new curbing sidewalk will be next week. And the asphalt work we're expecting to start end of October, early November. When we get to that point, we're expecting some disruptions to the ramp and some communicating out to the public so people are aware of any limitations down the ramp. Over at Watts, drywall is complete, painting is underway, ceiling grid begins tomorrow, landscaping work is underway, asphalt along the parking off of Randolph taking place tomorrow, the elevator install begins this week. We're really just entering that final push to kind of get all these major items completed. So we can turn our focus to finishing touches and getting ready for opening here at the end of November. And the highlight from the bigger projects?
It's looking great. I was there today, so but they're moving right along.
Nice.
So, in recreation facilities, turn it over to Bobby to talk about a few events coming up and highlight some.
Yeah, so we had the mud run, which 520 runners. It was an unbelievable day. It was spectacular. And we had the non-competitive
family race this year, which was very well received. I think we'll continue that, but I want to very probably see that. Mark your calendar for Boombash. We're expecting a record turnout this year. Let's talk about family today. They have friends who attended last year who are flying in from North Carolina specifically for Boombash in
Sunset. Oh my goodness.
So they're excited for that. So I think we're going to be, the building's going to be really busy that day. So if you'd like to volunteer or attend conferences, let us know. It's on the 27th, Friday. And we also have a preschool spectacular trunk or treat for the gym on the 31st in the morning. It's cute. We have all the parents will volunteer, and all the classes will come around and visit all the characters.
Before you scoot over the, our Halloween Boo Bash, we do need costume characters desperately. So if you know any teenagers, Michael, that would like to, or any friends or neighbors, babysitters, it's a fun event for, you know, some of the high school teens to dress up in different outfits. We provide everything, but if you know anybody who wants to volunteer, we're really beating the bushes. Or if you'd like to volunteer, we'd love to have you too.
I will be attending with Margo, and I am going to be doing a table at the spectacular.
Ooh, so, nice.
I got
what's that?
5 to 7?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm you
have to get here about a half hour before.
My flight landed too.
Okay, perfect.
This is my year.
Got them down right, Tony?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, November, we have an art show, kids around Thanksgiving. and then the ice rink obviously is opening for opening day, which is a free event to the community. And then we have some other ice rink related activities with the opening in December. So lots of fun activities for the community coming up.
All right. Is there any other questions on the report? Okay. That's it.
Okay. So I think we're on action items. Okay. Moving right along. I'm just trying to make sure I have it open. Okay, so I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 956, truth and taxation as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Okay. All right. I recommend I entertain a motion to approve the donation agreement for Watts Recreational Center renaming as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. I entertain a motion to approve a change order on the Watts renovation project in an amount not to exceed $75,000 for work-related security improvements, including the installation of smart card control security access for Kids Club, window security film, and other items as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? I think it's great.
This was discussed, I presume, last May.
Yeah, this is additional security improvements now that we have a donation, and it's coming a little under budget. We really think it's important to do key card access to get up into the Kids Club room, the elevator. That's the expensive item. Some foolproof film, things like that.
Anything
so
you can do to harden the building.
It's a good thing, right?
Fine by me.
Yeah, especially.
In light of everything.
Kids and any sort of community.
Yep, space.
Space, so. Yeah. Okay, roll call vote.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Before we move on to, we don't have any closed session, do we?
Nope, we don't have.
Any other business?
Nope, I don't have anything else.
All right, that was efficient. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Great. Have a good night.